How would you like to have your life changed tonight by just the Spirit of God reminding you of some things and redirecting your focus that you can have every part of your life improved by knowing the truth? It's the little things that we look at through flesh eyes, the little things that we hear through flesh ears that causes us heartache, distress, discouragement, that would be used by the enemy to try to steal our hope, to try to break our faith, right? So I think it's very important that we realize that they sung that last song to help us to see that when we saw the light, when we saw Jesus, that was the seed that would bring us into a place where we could see things and understand them in truth instead of in turmoil. I'm tired of turmoil, aren't you? Hallelujah. Open up your Bibles to the Gospel of John. Let's see if we can We don't have time, but I admonish you in your home study time, you read the first 13 verses, but I'm going to pick it up just for the time that we've got in verse 14. John chapter 7, verse 14. John chapter 7, verse 14. When you're there, say amen. Now about the midst of the feast, in other words, the fourth day, this is an eight-day feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters," or how does he have this learning, "having never been taught," having never learned the scrolls. Verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine." In other words, my instruction is not from me, but it is of the Father. It's but his that sent me. If any man will do the Father's will, he shall know of the doctrine, and whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. He that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keepeth the law? Why you go about to kill me? Now notice this, verse number 20. The people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee?" Verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, "I have done one work." He healed the man at the five porches, the pool of Bethesda. "And you all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because of it is of Moses, but because of the fathers. And you on the Sabbath day circumcise a man." Verse 23. "If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision," in other words, a work on the Sabbath day, "that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made every man every whit whole on the Sabbath day?" Now, what we read all that to read this, verse 24. "Judge not according to appearance. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our hearts, souls, and lives, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for that anointing that flows freely out of heaven in our lives, Lord.
Yes.
Leading us in our hearts, leading us in our minds, Lord. Thank you for this word that come out straight out of the throne room for us just now, Lord.
Yes.
And we honor you, Lord. We stand in awe of you, Lord. And we give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen
and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the word. Hallelujah. Thank you for being here. Glad Sister Debbie's here with us tonight. I'm glad each and every one of you. I'm glad Eliza and Bella's here. It's a blessing to be in the house of God with each other. I feel like the Lord really wants to impart something to us tonight that is going to help our everyday walk. I mean, thank God for salvation and the hope for heaven, quote unquote, or the eternal life that we're going to have with Him. But He wants you and I to be able to look at situations and circumstances in everyday life and see the truth. He wants you and I to have the assurance that we can make the correct judgment. Now, you know, a lot of people, they take the Bible verse in Matthew chapter 7, you know, "Judge not lest you be judged," and they twist that to say that you can't judge situations and circumstances. No, Jesus just said that according to how you judge, that's the way you're going to be judged. In other words, you're setting the parameter. You're setting the guidelines of how he's going to judge you and judge me. So if we judge righteously, he's going to judge us righteously, right? But the point tonight, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to take, and he wants to be very, he wants to fine-tune some things in your life and my life, and he wants us to help us to see where we won't fuss with our spouse, where we won't fuss with our children, where we won't fuss with our fellow brothers and sisters, where we'll understand that there's some things that we may not necessarily like ourselves or we may not agree with, but we're going to be able to judge that righteously and know, hey, God's doing something. And I may not be in the middle of it, or I may not be where I completely understand it, but I'm going to follow him. Amen? Because there are going to be some things happen here in the next short period of time that you need to be prepared for it within this church, and you need to look at it and say, okay, I'm going to not judge that by the way I like things or the way I feel about them. I'm going to judge righteous judgment. Amen. I'm going to see, okay, that's of God. Personally, that's not for me. Personally, I wouldn't do that, but I know it's of God and God's doing the work, and so I'm going to support it with everything I've got. Amen. There, you're going to be some ministries that is going to come forth. And as these ministries come forth, at first you're going to say, But it's going to bear witness with you. And as long as it bears witness with you, then you embrace it. Amen. I embrace it. And so that's a side point. But the point that you take home with you tonight is that God is going to give you an anointing to be able to look into situations and circumstances and judge righteously. In other words, what is that? That's not a holy word. We get caught up in certain words in this Christianese language, and we put it up here in this high level. It just simply means what's right. I want to know what's right, don't you? Because a lot of times when I look at situations, if I don't listen to the Holy Spirit, it's not right at all. It's from my experience, which may include hurt, heartache, disappointment. And all of those things filter what was done or what was said, and it puts a limitation or a twist on what somebody said or done that had nothing to do with their heart. Yes, come on now.
Amen.
All right. There's an old saying, and that old saying is perception becomes truth. Perception becomes truth. Brother Donnie, would you help me? Now, me and Brother Donnie here, we both got a black jacket. All right? So, I perceive both of these are black, don't you? His cost about twice as much as mine, but that's beside the point. But which one of these jackets you like the best? So he's got the nice fur on the inside, stay nice and warm. But anyway, see, all of this comes down to what? An opinion. An opinion. And your opinion is according to your life experiences, according to the way that you have seen things, the way that you've dealt with things, and all of these things. If you've had a bad experience with fuzz or this fur on the inside, you say, I don't like that. Well, it's pretty warm. But it's perception. Perception. And so, thank you so much, Brother Dice. So perception, it becomes your truth. But you and I, we're to be led by the Holy Ghost, and we're to perceive the reality of the way things really are, not the way that it looks or seems to us. Amen? See, we can say certain things, and because we've heard those words spoke to us maybe in a time when we were vulnerable, and it really cut down to the heart, then we hear those same words, and that the person that said them, they don't even understand where you've been with those words. But see, if I listen to that and I receive that, the devil will be quick to bring me back to where I was at when that initial cut took place in my heart. And so that, and then all of a sudden I've got an ought there. I've got a problem there. I've got a separation there that makes the devil smile and it makes the Lord cry. Come on, He's the Lord of unity. And He wants you and I to be closer than we can ever imagine. Amen? All right, so let's see some things. Brother Ryan, would you put 1 Samuel 16:7. This is the Lord talking to the prophet Samuel. And look what He tells Samuel. He sent Samuel down to anoint a new king for Israel. And Samuel kept looking at the outward appearance, and he was trying to figure out by looking at the outside who God would have. And God said this, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." On the heart. And so when God looks at your heart tonight, I want you to know that He sees a heart that's been made soft by His Spirit. It makes Him smile. But if we're not careful, the way that the Lord looks on our heart, we cannot apply that, and we can allow fears, trepidation, we can allow all of those things that we were speaking of just a moment ago, past experience, cause us to look at somebody's heart through those very lenses of hurt and heartache and disappointment. So when I do that, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. When I do that, it robs me of the joy of the Lord. It takes away my confidence, and the hope that I have for things to be better and to be different, all of a sudden that dwindles down, and I start thinking, well, what is the use? Have you ever thought that, felt that, said that? Say, God, He wants to help us with that, because you and I, we're coming into some very trying times that we're going to have to really trust in the Lord. Because the devil is making, he's making his play, a big attempt right now to suppress truth, to bring the church under bondage, and to stop what God's going to do. But he can't stop what the Holy Ghost is going to do through His church. Amen? So you have that confidence. All right. So let's, Brother Ryan asked this question the other night at Bible study, and it got me to thinking about this verse. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11, and I want you to see. Say, I got the Holy Ghost. See, when you got saved and born again of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit come into your life. And then as you made room for the Lord and you seek Him deeper and you yield your tongue to the Spirit of God, He overflows your spirit. See, when you get saved, you take a drink of water. Come on, water's the type of the Spirit, right? But just because you take a drink of the water don't mean you're full. But when you drink the whole glass and then you're completely full, then you're full of the Spirit of God. And the evidence on the day of Pentecost, when you're full of the Spirit of God, the utterance will come. You'll speak with that heavenly language. And so when that happens, you have this assurance to be like Jesus was, led by the Spirit. Now let's see what happens here in Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 1. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." Come, we're talking about Jesus Christ. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." Now, that means that the Holy Spirit come when Jesus was baptized there by John the Baptist, and he come up out of the water, and God spoke. What did God say? He said, "This is my Son, and who I am well pleased," right? And so some of the people, they couldn't hear those words. Some said, "Oh, it thundered." Others said, "An angel talked." But you and I, we can hear the voice of the Lord because of His Spirit. Amen? And so when you get saved, the Spirit of God rests. He lives inside of you. But He wants to lead you and guide you where you can judge. Lead me and guide me where I can judge righteous judgment. Now notice what happens. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him," upon Jesus, because He rests on Jesus, He can rest on you and I. Now notice this. "The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit," we should say, "of the fear of the Lord." But notice this. "And shall make him," the Holy Spirit shall make Jesus, and those who are following the Lord, "shall make them of quick understanding. Now, this word quick understanding, it's a unique Hebrew word. It can mean quick-scented. In other words, you can smell the things of God instantly. Why? Because, see, with God, there's an anointing. See, now, God's anointing has His own unique smell to it that is so sweet and so pleasant. But then God, He takes of His anointing and He shares it with us. And then you become a part of that anointing. That anointing becomes a part of you, and that scent goes forth. Come on now, in the spirit we're talking about, you know when you smell the liberty of the Lord, when you smell the freedom of the Lord, when you smell the truth of the Lord, all of those things. That's a part of your discernment in the spirit. But I want you to know that you can have quick understanding because Jesus had it, and everything Jesus had to be successful, He's freely gave to us, right? And so that means when a situation arises, when the buttons of the flesh is pushed, when you have a chance, an opportunity to get discouraged or get depressed or get aggravated or whatever, you can say, Lord, right now, I know that Your Spirit is resting upon me. Let me breathe in the truth. Let me breathe in the truth. Now, I'm talking about changing some situation. You can get along with me or not, but I've got some problems, some struggles in my life that Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, is going to deliver me from. I'm going to be turned into another person because God's Holy Ghost turns us into another person. Amen? There's a place in my life where everything's just fine and dandy, and then when I get out of the Spirit, it is a struggle. It's not meant to be that way. And so the Lord is doing something in our lives. He's pouring out an abundance of His anointing to help you and I to be. I don't have to be like a bobber on a river. I don't have to be like, I can be just as steady as the Holy Ghost is. I've never been that way, but I can be. Because I serve a God that nothing changes Him. No shadow of turning. Come on. He's my God. He's my Father. He's your God. He's your Father. And so you and I, we can get to the place when the devil comes and he punches to try to get us to do the same things that we've done before, and it won't work. In Jesus' name. Amen? Now, I want you to go on a journey with me. I want you to believe this because I'm going to need your help, and you're going to need my help. We're going to work together, and God's going to do it. Now, He said, I will make him of a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. In other words, the reverence of the Lord. So here's what happens. You're in a situation, whether it's at work or whether it's with someone who's the devil uses to punch your buttons. And there the situation is. And normally you know what you would do or what you would say. Well, all of a sudden, instead of smelling the work of the enemy, you're going to smell the presence of the Lord. It's going to bring a truth to you. And when that truth comes inside of you, He said that reverence would come. The fear of the Lord. Okay, what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is the ability to stand strong knowing that God is greater than your enemy. In other words, you put your trust in your Lord more than what the lie of the enemy is trying to work. Amen? We're talking about power. We're talking about victory like never before. We're talking about success in everyday life to be an influencer. Amen? Because that's what God's going to do. He's going to raise us up, and people who have known situations and circumstances about us, they're going to see the Lord where they used to see the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
I want it, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, that's what He's going to do. Because you and I were here tonight, this is by destiny. It's not by accident or chance. We're here because you are ready to receive this. Come on, God never gives us nothing unless we're ready to receive it. And so we're here, and we've got the perfect atmosphere for just the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do in our life. All right, now notice this. And He shall make of him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Notice this. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Let that sink in just for a minute, but say, thank you, Jesus. Come on. You're not going to be led astray by these carnal eyes or these carnal ears ever again, because you're going to trust in the Lord. And when this situation rises up, all of a sudden, you're going to feel that anointing. And the Holy Spirit's going to bring this word back to your remembrance. And remember, Jesus said His words, they were spirit and they were life. In other words, when the devil's trying to work death, the life of the Lord will come upon you and you're going to wax bold and you're going to wax strong, because it's not by your power. It's by what? The power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Come on, Jesus, His words are life. They're quickening. They're going to quicken you and I. Now notice this, verse number 4. But with righteousness, remember, judge not after appearance, but judge righteous judgment. But with righteousness shall He judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And He shall smite the earth with the rod of His mouth, and with the breath of His lips He shall slay the wicked. The wicked here, that means the ones who are morally wrong. Now, that's the role of Jesus. But at the same time, you and I, in our own life and in our own ministry, we have the ability to stop what the devil's trying to do that's not right in our life, in our family's life. You have authority in this earth. You are somebody. God Himself gave you His Spirit. He gave you His Son. And He gave you the use of the name of Jesus. And so it boils down to what I allow is what's going to happen. See, we like to blame God and say, oh, why did God let this happen? Why did God do this? Where was God at? God is as close as in my mouth. Right? What did Paul say in Romans chapter 10? When I believe in the heart and confess with the mouth, I'm saved. Well, it's the same way about every area of my life. You and I, we get caught up in all this religious deal where people make you feel bad because they say, boy, you're name it and claim it. You're blab it and grab it. We're not talking about that. I got saved because I confessed Jesus. So in my situations, in my battles, when I confess Jesus, when I breathe in His anointing and I recognize His presence and I renounce and I rebuke what the enemy's trying to do, I'm going to wax bold. I'm going to be strong. You're going to be strong. Amen. Okay, let's go to some scriptures we've preached out of quite a bit here lately, but I think that we need to look at them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you got to know, and you got to continue to remind yourself, I've got to remind myself, that it's the power of being walking in this, the Holy Spirit in our spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at this. Start in verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 2 and 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Aren't you glad? Yes. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in... Because the Spirit's in me. Spirit's in you. The Spirit of the Antichrist is in the world, right? And so that's in verse 4, but in verse 1 of 1 John chapter 4, He said, try those spirits. So if they don't bear witness with the Holy Spirit in your spirit, you have dominion and authority over it. You say, uh-uh, devil, that's a lie. I'm going to judge righteous judgment. I'm going to judge according to what it appears to be, but I'm going to judge by the Spirit of God. Now notice this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That's prodigy. That's offspring, that's of who God is in us. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Why? Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So, you have the ability, because of the Spirit of God is in you, to say, wait a minute. This is carnal. This is the Holy Ghost. The devil works through the carnal. So you can see, okay, this is the work of the devil. This is the work of the Spirit. So I smell that for what it is. I discern that spirit. It's the spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist simply means instead of Jesus. I don't want anything to do with that. I want righteous judgment. I want the truth. I want to be able to stand strong in that. And so I've got the Holy Spirit, and I've got some things that are freely given to me, but there is a devil who's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. So notice, we don't understand, I don't understand, and sometimes I get aggravated when it looks like the devil's stealing something. But I've got to say, okay, wait a minute. This is what the devil's doing, but Jesus is the one that had the final say. Jesus said the devil's going to come to steal, kill, and destroy, but he said, I am come. Yes. So I need to what? I need to get my focus off of what's wrong. I need to judge righteous judgment. I say, I'm not looking at that devil. I'm looking at Jesus, because Jesus gave me the last word of what was going to happen when you showed up and knocked on my door. Jesus said he was going to come. And he's going to give me not only life, but life more abundantly, right? So in my struggle right now, if I judge righteous judgment, I can renounce, I can rebuke, I can reject what the enemy's trying to do, and I can receive the abundant life. Because notice, jump back up to verse 11. It says, for what man knoweth the things of a man? See, I don't know what's in your heart. But notice what the word says. Save the Spirit, except the Holy Spirit of a man, the Holy Spirit in a man, which is in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So, you and I, we've got to start operating by the Holy Spirit in our spirit. And we've got to stop depending upon doodads. Thank God for doodads. I love to feel them. But he'll never leave me, never forsake me. Whether I feel anything or not, he's in my spirit. And so my spirit knows the truth because of the Holy Spirit of truth that... Okay, let's look at that. John chapter 16. The Holy Spirit is in your spirit, and you know the truth. Look what Jesus says, starting in verse 7. John 16 and 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Aren't you glad? So Jesus is now on the right hand of the Father, and so we're on this side of the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit's here. He's here. All right, so what did he say he would do? Now, drop down to verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth is come, he's come, right? What did he do? He said, he will guide you into some truth. All truth. I can judge righteous judgment. Now, I don't know, maybe you don't have issues with people, but I have issues with people sometimes. Because I've got a tender heart, and when they say certain things, if I take what is said the wrong way, it hurts my heart. And they may not even mean it that way, but like I said, because I've been hurt that way before, there is an openness there, and the devil loves to take and stick the dagger back in and twist it. And so I've got to get to a place, you've got to get to a place, because what's coming here in this year is there is going to be such a flow of the love of God that there's going to be some that love is going to make them mad. Have you ever... Donna, when we're fussing or I'm being a butt about something, and she tries to get me to straighten up, she makes me so mad because she won't fuss with me. Sometimes you want to fuss. You ever want to fuss? But she does what the Bible says. She what? She heaps coals of fire on my head. That's what we're going to be able to do. Because when the love of God is going to be so strong, and all of these people who are hurting and who are resisting the love of God and all of these things, we're going to be able to judge righteous judgment. We're going to be able to see past their lifestyle, their hurt, There are all of the things that they're going to be shouting and screaming about that is really doesn't make any sense to your heart or my heart without the Spirit. But with the Spirit, we're going to be able to say, aha, here's the problem. And I've got the answer in my heart. Jesus, amen. Come on, this is exciting. He said, how be it? When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will. Come on, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. That's a promise. That's a prophetic promise. That's ours. So what we got to do is we got to walk around and say, Lord, I thank You that You're showing me what's to come. Agree with Him. Speak it out of your own mouth, just like you got saved and that salvation come into your heart, then this word will start working for you. When you come in agreement with that and you start saying that and you say, I'm being led into all truth. I can't be deceived. That's not arrogance. That's confidence in the One who is the Spirit of truth. Amen? And that makes God pleased because He knows that you're trusting Him. The Spirit of God said, the reason why your trust level is so important, your trust level determines your level of influence. I want to influence people, don't you? So I need to trust Jesus. So if I trust Him, that's going to make my level, your level of influence deeper. Because why? Because the more we trust Him, the more real He is. Whew. Amen? All right. So, how do we apply this scripture? When the devil comes and darkness is there, and see the devil try, he works on me, and if I yield to him and I get weak, here's what I usually say. Okay, now I'm telling you, I'm just opening my heart to you because I want you to know that I need your prayers, I need you, I need Jesus, and I want to be different. Amen. But I'll usually say, well, I just don't know what to do. You ever said that? Well, who am I agreeing with? Because right here, Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit's come, He's come. So this is right now. That He would lead me and guide me into all truth. He wouldn't tell me I don't know what to do. Amen? So when that urgency, that unction comes to say something negative or something discouraging, just say to the Lord, say, Lord, here's what I want to say. The pressure is immense, but I need your anointing. I need your help. You help me to say what you say. And if I say what God says, I'll have what God's promised. Amen? So I say, Lord, you're going to lead me and guide me into all truth. You're going to show me what's to come. In other words, you're going to show me. I'm going to judge righteous judgment. I'm going to know how you see this turning out. See, I can prophesy with the devil and have what the devil says, or I can prophesy with God, and I can have what God says. I choose the latter, don't you? Amen? Oh, come on now. I'm telling you, we're going to start saying some things by the Spirit of God. It's going to touch people, and it's going to bring them out of darkness, and it's going to bring them into the light. Because God is trusting you with a new level of anointing. God is trusting you with a new level of truth that He knows it's time. It's time in this earth, in this moment of time, to go out and to reach those who are in deception, who are distraught. They're heartbroken. They have no hope. And He's going to give you the very words. These are going to be fresh seed to undo every lie of the devil. Come on, He's got secrets that's laid up for this time. And it's time to pour them out. Amen. How's He going to pour them out? By His Spirit in your spirit. God doesn't do anything unless He speaks through His prophets. Come on now. I understand that there's an office of a prophet, but also the body of Christ has the ability to prophesy. Okay. Now, all of this is so encouraging and so powerful, but the Lord wants us to close with these verses to make sure that you understand that His Spirit and the depth of His Spirit is for you right now. Amen? So let's go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, starting at verse number 9. Luke chapter 11, verse number 9. Now, you may not have heard anything else, but please concentrate on what the Spirit of God is going to say to you right now, because this is very important. Jesus says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Now notice, ask, seek, and knock. What is the first letter of that spell when you put all three of them together? Ask. Ask, A, seek, S, knock, K. Come on. Hallelujah. So ask. You have not, I have not, James, the epistle of James says, because we ask not, right? All right. Now notice this. He said, and it shall be opened unto you. What? This deeper things of God. For some that asketh, everyone. Doesn't matter if you're young or old, been saved for a minute, or you've been saved for 100 years. Doesn't matter if you're black, brown, yellow, white. Come on, doesn't matter. Everyone. That's the kind of God we serve. He doesn't leave anybody out. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now notice this. What's he talking about? Verse number 11. If a son, say, I'm a child of God. So you qualify, okay? So hold that in your heart. If a son shall ask bread of anything that is, of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? And there's a deeper connotation, but we don't have time to go into that. Will, if he asks for a fish, will he, for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he asks, shall I ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Verse number 13. If ye then being evil, you know, he's talking to those that hadn't been born again at that time, this whole group of people. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? Aren't you glad that you've got a God that's more than enough? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Oh, glory. All we have to do is ask. You say, well, I got the Holy Spirit when you got saved. Yes, you did. Yes, I did. But as I said a while ago, that is a drink of water. And we want to drink until we're full. And if we drink till we're full, then the evidence of being full, okay, let's just turn over there and read it. Hold your place right there. We may come back. I'm not going to hold you, but just a little bit longer because I want us to apply this scripture. Acts chapter 2. Verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house full. Full. Literally, you're a house of the Lord tonight. Say, I want to be full. Amen. It filled all of the house. I understand it's literal, but you and I need to take it spiritually. And they were where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. How do we know they were filled? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they had the drink of the water of salvation. They drank until they're completely full. And when they're full, the evidence is they open their mouth, the Spirit of God moves on them, and they speak in a heavenly language. So you and I, we are led by the Spirit of God at the moment of salvation, and we have that promise and that assurance. But and that brings all the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22, 23, 24. That brings the fruit of the Spirit out of your spirit. You know, the very first one is love. Second one's joy. The third one's peace. It brings those nine fruit out of your life, but God wants to bring nine gifts out of your life. And those gifts, they flow when you're in the place where you're completely full. And it's not a one-time feeling. You and I, we need to be refilled every day by yielding to the Lord, by worshiping the Lord and allowing His Spirit to move in us. But when that happens, then you have the understanding that one of the gifts of the Spirit is the gift of discerning of spirits. And so if I want to judge not according to appearance, but if I want to do like what Jesus said, I want to judge righteous judgment, one of the ways I can be assured of that is to be staying full of the Spirit of God. And that gift of discerning the Spirit, it's not the gift of discernment. It's the gift of discerning the spirits. It's the ability to look and say, okay, the devil is involved in this. Or this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Or this is not their flesh, this is their spirit. But there may be a demon working in their flesh. There may be a demon working in their soul, whatever it might be. And so it gives you the ability to be able to change the situation and the circumstance. Amen? Now, when people start coming in here, they're going to have a lot of problems. But you're going to have a lot of Savior. Amen? But God's going to need you to operate in His Spirit. And like I said, you've got the fruit, but you and I are going to need to become pliable in His hands, where the very gifts can operate in our life to help some people. Because there are going to be some people, it's going to be easy to get them saved. But there's going to be others that are going to have a lot of baggage, a lot of things that the enemy is going to be working in their life, and it's going to take more than just you and I casually praying a prayer of repentance. And so God's trying to get us ready. He's trying to get us in the place and the position where we can trust Him and believe Him and do that. All right. So Jesus said that even earthly fathers give good gifts. But He said, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask? So, I've shared it a little bit before, but we'll back up just a little bit. When Don and I first got saved and started going to church, and then there was a man moved here from California. His name was Tom Johnson, and you know his son. He's the one that mowed all the yard this past year and sowed it into the church, you know. But anyway, he could help pray the Holy Spirit down stronger than any person I've ever been around in my whole life. And so he was there praying with me and Wink at the altar, and I mean the Holy Spirit was there so strong. But I thought that you had to let the Holy Spirit make you do something. Come on, don't look at me that way. I hadn't been saved long. And I didn't know but just about what you could put on the top of a head of a pen. But so I thought if the Holy Spirit wanted me to speak in tongues, then He would make me. Now, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit gives you the unction, which means He gives you the ability and He supplies the words. But you've got to do the talking. I've got to do the talking. And if somebody would have just simply told me, listen, Greg, you can't speak in two languages at once, it would have helped me so much. Because when the anointing there was there so strong, I wanted to praise God, like Brother Corey said, with everything that I had, you know, and you run out of words. And so then, you know, you start feeling that unction to speak in tongues. But then as you start to do that, then you feel the Lord even stronger. And so you back into English. And so I was right there. And so anyway, you know my testimony. I lost 15 years because I didn't fulfill that. I let the devil steal that from me. And then I even went to so far as to thinking that wasn't for me. See, the devil loves to tell you that God loves somebody else better, or God has certain gifts for somebody, but He doesn't have it for you. And so I missed out on 15 years of what I have to have every day to be able to make it. Come on, I depend upon the Spirit of God. I would be backslid doing all of the things that I want to do in the natural if it was not for the power of the Spirit of God in my life. Now, you may not have that problem, but I'm sorry. My flesh is strong.
But it's not stronger than the Holy Spirit showing Jesus.
So, the Spirit of God is what empowers you and I. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27 says that the anointing of the Spirit of God is the anointing that destroys yokes off your life. And not only does He supply the words, but he supplies the anointing that destroys yokes. And so it's important that we learn how to have the Spirit inside of us, but how we allow the Spirit of God to come upon us. Because when you've got the Spirit upon you and in you, it makes the impossible possible. Amen? All right. So, I don't know where we need to go for this. I just followed the Lord on this. He just laid these scriptures out, and I just gave them to you the way He gave them to me. And so let's pray, and then let's see what the Spirit of God would want to do. Father God, in the name of Jesus, to the best of our ability, Lord, we have yielded to You. We have trusted in You. We have said yes to what You have dropped in our heart. And I believe tonight will be a turning point in every person's life that's here. I believe that we will be able to judge righteous judgment. Lord, but we ask that in every area of our life, we may have hurts, we may have heartaches, we may have disappointments. I know that I do. I want to make sure that I am full of You. I don't want to be full of anxiety or full of fear. I don't want to be full of anything that the devil or this world would have to offer. I want the Holy Spirit to search my spirit and to try me and to try each one of us here and see if there's any wicked way, any fault in us, any area that we have not allowed You to be the Lord of, and let us submit it to You. And we want to be full of You. And we ask, Lord, that You would just touch each one of us and give us boldness in You to be able to ask, to be able to seek, to be able to knock on heaven's door and say, Lord, here I am, I'm Your vessel. And I believe that this infilling of the Holy Spirit, this re-infilling of the Holy Spirit is for me tonight. And whatever You would have, that's what I want. Lord, You said that Holy Spirit would lead me into all truth. And so if there's anything in my life tonight that is not true, reveal it to me where I can have peace, I can have hope, I can have confidence. Let it be, Father. Oh, I ask You in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you come up here and make yourself an altar, or make yourself an altar at your chair, whatever you feel comfortable in. But would you just do that ASK? Would you ask, seek, and knock and say, Lord, here I am. Yeah, I'm not saying that you don't have the Holy Spirit, but make sure tonight that you're not just full, but you can be refilled and refilled and refilled by the Spirit of God, and you can move into that next level, that deeper dimension, to have the impossible become possible. I'm here to pray with you, but you know, it's all about Jesus. It's about your relationship with Jesus. It has nothing to do with man. Now, I know that Peter and John and certain people, they have a special anointing to lay hands on people and do a transference, to do to be used by the Spirit of God to help people be filled. I trust in that. I believe in that. But it boils down to, though, that you just take God at His word. But I'm here to pray with you about anything. I want to help you walk deeper and closer to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.